You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
And this is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Rebecca Ting, the CEO and co-founder of P9, an interactive multimedia company that produces immersive experiences and choose-your-adventure interactive films and animations. Rebecca, a pleasure to have you with us today here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. Really lovely to be here, and thank you for making this happen.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Certainly our pleasure, and thanks for joining us from Japan today. So tell us why you created P9. Get into some of those details.
So interestingly, I'm actually from an insurance background. I wasn't from an advertising background, or I didn't do a creative or art degree. But in my 13 years in insurance, basically what I saw was that insurance isn't a sexy industry, unfortunately. As much as when I was in the industry, we tried really hard to communicate effectively with customers, trying to tell them how great the product is. At the end of the day, when I talked to my family and friends, they really didn't want to engage with what I was talking about. And what I saw was during my time working there was a lot of effort to try to use technology to try to reinvigorate the brand and the image of the industry. And there was a lot of use of new apps, wearables. But at the end of the day, what I saw was that customers still didn't stick with that message and there was a lack of engagement. So what I wanted to do was just go back to the basic and use the art of storytelling to basically make the messages clearer, more engaging, more fun, more creative. And I was fortunate enough to actually meet my current partners who are in that industry and who could bring a lot of ideas into how to marry up what's been tried and tested and bring it into an industry where traditionally it's been very paper-based, very much about reading text, very much about sitting in front of an agent and listening to a lot of explanations. And we just wanted to use animations, you know, nice graphics, a lot of colors, and recreate that message.
Exciting stuff, no doubt about that. Now, for those that aren't so familiar, what is interactive multimedia?
Basically, what we do is we use any form of multimedia, say animation, or even real life filming, or even still sketches, and we create it so that the user, the audience, can click, can use different types of user experience and interact with it. What the interaction ultimately does is changes the visuals, the multimedia that you're watching, and you can basically use the multimedia and have a sort of experience. So if you think of Choose Your Adventure storybooks, which I used to read a lot when I was a kid, that probably gives a bit about how old I am, but those are still really popular amongst children, teenagers. And basically, in those stories, you read an adventure and you get to a point and you can make a decision as to what you want to do. So turn to page 3 if you want to kill the dragon, or turn to page 10 if you want to, walk over the bridge. And that's exactly what the interactive multimedia does, is that you're watching a video, you're watching an animation, and you're asked to make choices. And so you can click, or you can swipe, and the image that you're seeing, the video that you're seeing, will change according to the decision that you make.
A most helpful explanation. Thanks for that, Rebecca. Now, some may think you are just a production house. Clarify accordingly, if you would, on that.
Yeah, that's a great question, because that's something that we're very clear we're not. We're not a production house. because yes, we do have a great team of creative. We've got, you know, four or five animators. We've got my co-founder himself. He's a filmmaker. We've also got illustrators who can put together the creative art, which is what a lot of production houses are able to do. But actually, going back to my first point, I created this because you know, we want to apply this to a quite a traditional and also data intensive industry, insurance. And so what we do is we use the interactive multimedia, and basically with the interactions, they are great ways to ask for your audience, your customer, for feedback. Every click that they make is basically their decision, and you can actually create the story, create the interactive multimedia such that you're framing it to gather certain thoughts about your customer, certain decisions, certain behavior, and certain data points. And so actually what we're trying to do, the spirit behind all the interactive multimedia is to actually use it as a way to innovatively collect customer feedback and data. And so what we have done in our projects is we've created choose your adventure stories. One of them is, say, a driving trip, and you go out and things happen and you make decisions and story changes accordingly. But each decision that you make is actually something that we use in a predictive model to understand what's your financial needs. And that gets output at the very end, and the customer can see that. So behind all the great creativity, there's a lot of data analytics and also propensity modeling that we can build around it. And the core of this is that we're trying to help our clients to understand their customers better. We're trying to get customer insights, but without stalking the customers online. And we do that by simply presenting our questions in a much more fun and engaging way. And so the customers will actually provide our clients with that information through our immersive storytelling.
Today on the program, we have Rebecca Ting from Japan, the CEO and co-founder of P9, an interactive multimedia company, joining us here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, we do have a lot of entrepreneurs, Rebecca, tuning in from all over the world. Talk to us about your journey of starting P9. I'm sure there is something our listeners could learn from some of those experience shared.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm dialing in from Japan, but I'm actually Hong Kong born Australian. So quite a multicultural background. So I've been in the corporate environment for 13 years, and I've always wanted to start my own company. I was waiting for the right idea, and I've shared this story to a number of people. Phase one was actually having that idea, and I shared kind of what led me to this idea just before. Second phase was trying to find the right partner, and I spent probably 2 years trying to find this partner, and eventually I did, and we tested each other out to see whether we could work with each other, whether there were skill sets that complement each other, and also, you know, professionally, whether we're able to, really just drive this company, not worry about kind of emotionally whether we'll get on each other's nerves and stuff. And then the third phase was basically the push. You know, what really pushed me to really leave a very comfortable, financially comfortable corporate job was I had a 1 year at the time, and I was pregnant with my second one. And I think, you know, it's probably now we're hearing more stories about women having problems finding the time to balance a corporate job and raising children, and that's exactly what I experienced. And I think unless I changed the way I worked and I actually owned something on my own and really owned my own time, there was no way that I could give the time that I wanted to give to my two young children. And so they were also a really huge driver to what led me eventually to really take this really big and also risky step at this life stage of mine. The journey is very interesting. Being from Hong Kong, the startup ecosystem is quite strong. Is over there is a lot of support for startups. In Japan, is is less so. It could be because I'm not a Japanese speaker. And I was recently in a conference and we talked about this ecosystem and how it can be improved in Japan. There's definitely a lot more support that can be given here. There's a sense of fear of failure in Japan as well, which probably prevents young entrepreneurs to come out and really get their ideas going. And there's also a lack of funding support in Japan as well. So it's a very, very different environment. But thankfully, at a very early stage, we were encouraged to enter into accelerator programs and startup challenge. And we did win one very early on in our startup journey, which was really good because that put a badge onto our brand, a recognition that there is traction, there is interest. And obviously, that gave us a little bit of financial support as well. So overall, we're still a very young startup. There has been ups and downs, as most startups had, but an amazing, amazing journey, and I don't regret one bit.
And really appreciate your sharing those details with us on your journey and getting us up to speed on starting P9 now. So, Rebecca, getting a little more personal, what keeps you going every day?
Yeah, there is, I've been told before I started this journey that this will be a marathon. And obviously I didn't really take those comments to heart because I wasn't, it was quite early on in the journey. And I thought, no, it's okay. I ran a half marathon. I made it. So it's going to be fine. But it is such a different lifestyle. There is no break. I stopped losing track of public holidays or obviously I can take leave anytime I want now. I'm not constrained by days, but you actually don't want to take any leave. So it's definitely a lot of you have to put in a lot of energy. It does get tiring. And then probably 6 months into my startup journey, I was talking to a friend who has her own brand as well. She's a designer and she's ran that for 7 years. And there's something that she said to me, which is very simple, but I really remember it. She said that, just celebrate your success no matter how big or small. Even if it's a little milestone that you've hit, a little bit of success, celebrate it with your team. And I think that was just such a great thing that she shared with me that she has done to keep herself going. And that is what we do as well. If there was a big success, of course it's great. We go out and have a lunch and celebrate it. But even if it's a small success, something that even if it's a client making a small step, forward in the project, within the team we do celebrate it. We talk about it, and it's really a really simple way to motivate each other.
Those victory celebrations are so important. Glad you hit on that good stuff there. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a final tip, anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, so we started out P9 as a B2B business. So, and that's because I've worked in a corporate environment and I had some contacts and, I thought, okay, well, it's great to establish a relationship with a large brand. And I think there are lots of benefits, but I think there were certain things that we definitely underestimated in the beginning, which is there is no doubt working with large corporations can give you that name. You can put that into your pitches. But the business development cycle is extremely long. And we've validated that with other startups who are B2B business. So we definitely don't think, we are unique in that sense. It is common, but no one really talked about it before. So the business development cycle with a corporation would generally be 3 to 6 months. And that's something for a startup, it's hard to stomach. If you are targeting large corporations or you're targeting long-term relationships with large corporations, my advice would be, actually work with smaller businesses to get your financials going while you're working on that that large relationship. Don't put your egg into one basket and bank on that one relationship. Once you get there, I think it's great. They are very long-term. It's very secure. And generally, you can get a good steady cash flow going. But in the beginning, you know, as a startup, you just cannot afford to be waiting for 6 months for a large corporate to come around. So that's my closing advice.
Rebecca, awesome stuff. Thanks so much for joining us here today. A lot of great information, and you're certainly motivating. Your message has passion behind it, and we wish you nothing but the best looking ahead. So again, thanks for joining us. Where can listeners get all the details on P9 and also be in contact as needed?
Our web address is www.p9pro.com. That is www.p9pro.com.
Sounds easy enough. Again, Rebecca, all the best, and thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. Certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with Rebecca Ting, the CEO and co-founder of P9, an interactive multimedia company. And for further details and to learn more, visit p9pro.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.